Tonight is November 1st, and we're at Shari Tefillah learning Mishnah. We're in Baba Kama, chapter 2, Mishnah 3, Perek Bet, Mishnah Gimel. And even though we began the Mishnah about 10 minutes last time, I'm going to read it again. And we'll probably get to the Mishnah that follows it as well. Mishnah Gimel, the third Mishnah. Here we go.
Did you mean we're in Mishnah 2?
I'm sorry. Yeah, I said Mishnah 3, right?
Mm-hmm.
I should have said 2, and then certainly we'll get to Mishnah 3. Right. Ketzad hashen mu'edet lehol et aruila. How, right, ketzad, in what way, is the shen mu'edet lehol et aruila? Is a teeth, and we just call it shen, of course. Mu'edet, we've learned that means the opposite of tam, is forewarned, to eat that which is fitting for it. Now, of course, this sentence we recognize. What we're doing here is fleshing out matters that have already been mentioned in a previous Mishnah that was like a table of contents.
Mm-hmm.
So we really want to look back at the end of Perek Aleph, where we had this table of contents in the fourth Mishnah, which is the last Mishnah. And that Mishnah mentioned both Keren and Shein, and also Regel, in that order.
Mm-hmm.
And the mention of what we're doing now, which is Shein, was right after Regel. It's, I guess, about the 15th word of the Mishnah, probably something like that. And it says, Shein mu'edit lechol et aruila. Shein is for one to eat, that which is fitting for the animal to eat. And our Mishnah takes that line and puts the word ketzad before it, how so. The whole Mishnah is going to be expanding about how so do we apply that rule. We can also remember from the Torah that the rule comes from the verses in chapter 22 of Shmot, in which it talked about letting your animal go to graze the sedeh acher, in a different field.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw the interpretation of Chazal in Rashi that the verse is talking both about Shein and Regel, and we know therefore, from the verse, the Shein and Regel, when the Torah says they have to pay damages, it's b'sadeh acher. It's in a different field. In other words, it's in what we're calling Rishut HaNizak, Rishut HaYachid, Rishut HaNizak, the private domain, the domain of the person who's damaged. So it involves trespassing. And we can assume that when this says that Shein Mu'edet Le'echol Et Aruila, it's talking about b'sadeh acher, and of course, Mu'edet, it's forewarned, it's talking about Nezek Shalem, a full Nezek, of course. And then it goes on to explain, Habema mu'edit lechol perot b'yirakot. That the animal is forewarned to eat perot b'yirakot, fruits and vegetables. In other words, whenever it eats produce, that's what it usually eats, and that's what it's forewarned for, and that's what you pay nezek shalem for when it's in Rishut HaNizak.
Is that what mu'ed, I'm sorry, it's like,
mu'ad is the male.
Singular. Mu'ad, yeah. Is that what it means literally, forewarned or reasonably anticipated? Is that the
point let's look
it?
Let's go ahead and look at the root. You have in the word the letters I and Dalet, aid, witness. It's been witnessed, as if to say.
And
it's either witnessed in a literal sense, like in the sense of Karen, that three times it's been seen to do that, or it's witnessed in the figurative sense that we know, the whole world knows, that that's what those animals do.
Okay. Understood. Thank you. Yeah.
All right. And we are already finished with the first five questions, because a lot of this is review.
Right.
I'm just taking a mental note. And now we go on to something more interesting. The Mishnah goes on to say, Achlak sut o kelim mishalem chatzi nezek. The word achla is in the feminine because the noun, the subject is behema, animal, which is feminine. Achlak sut, if it ate clothing. Now that word sut, if we just look at the root, you have the chaf, you have the samech, and the next letter of the root is a hey. Here a vav is taking the place. It means kisa or lichasot, to cover.
To cover.
Cover. Right? So it's covering. that which covers the human being. O kelim, if it ate clothing or kelim, vessels, if someone's trying to get into the door, let me just see there. Yes, they are.
I'm going the wrong direction. I never figure out these
pages. Yeah, it's the pages are always... All right, I'll say it the other way. Are never the way you expect them
never
to be.
Never.
Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Okay, you're joining us in the middle, but
where do you want?
It's certainly better than not joining us at all.
Let me give you a celebration of sorts.
That's leftovers.
There we go. Leftovers.
So, but you're certainly welcome to a chip if you want.
We're in the middle of Mishnah.
I've got it on the
My mother used to say, "Take a lot, take two."
Of the second perek, the second chapter.
You're fast already half of the Mishnah?
We're going quickly. We're burning rubber here.
What we did last week.
So,
version is page 30. It's chapter 2, mission 2.
Page 30?
If it's the same.
It's the same.
Mary Beth, you also have the sheet. So, David, you said it's page 30?
Page 30.
Page 30.
Got it. Thank
you. Mission 2 at the top.
About
we've
the
read
15th
six
word.
Or eight lines.
In what respect is the tooth considered noxious?
Noxious. What a nice word.
Yeah, it's just.
It's not helpful, though.
Forewarned.
Forewarned. The way you explain it.
I can't understand the use
it's
of the word expected. Noxious.
So, anyway, in what sense is the Shane teeth considered forewarned? The animal is forewarned to eat fruits and vegetables, which means it's in Reshut and Izak, of course, and it's. Nezek Shalem. It's in the private domain of the person whose possessions were damaged. My animal trespassed, ate his peyot v'yarkot, fruits and vegetables, and I have to pay, the owner of the animal has to pay Nezek Shalem, because my animal is mu'ad, is forewarned for such things. But if it ate clothing or utensils, then Mishalem Chatzi Nezek. You only have to pay half Nezek. Now, before we go on, we have lots of questions to ask here. Lots of questions, and it's very confusing. Because, based on what we know from the Torah and from previous Mishnayot, an animal eating clothing or utensils, we ask ourselves, how do we categorize that? What of Nizikin is it? Of the Avot Nizikin? It would be goring.
Yeah.
It's not Shane, because Shane is when it eats the Ro'ila, what's fitting for it, what it normally eats, what it's forewarned. Everyone knows that's what it does, that's what we have to look out for. And it's not Regel, it's not trampling, because trampling is when it walks in its normal way, it does what it's normally doing. But an animal doesn't normally eat clothing. If it eats clothing, it's not Shane, it's not Regel, it certainly has nothing to do with Ish, with fire, nothing to do with boar, with a pit, with a stumbling block. It's the third of the three avot that have to do with animals. It's not Shane, it's not Regel, it's Karen. It's goring. Just like it's unexpected for an animal to gore, it's unexpected for an animal to eat clothing. So it's certainly talking about Karen, goring, and we understand, therefore, why it says Chatzi Nezek, because that's the law of goring. Since it's not expected, the owner is not responsible. He didn't have to look out for it. The animal did it of his own accord. The owner didn't do anything wrong. He's not liable. He's not negligent, right?
Mm-hmm.
What does he have to pay? Well, someone has to pay. So they split it up. The person whose animal was gored or whose kalim were eaten and the person whose animal did it, they split it 50-50. That's what we would think, and that's all true. I didn't say anything misleading. But we all know that those standard laws of Karen only apply to Reshut
Rabim,
the public domain. Whereas in the private domain, the law of Karen is disputed, we've learned, between Rabbi Tarfon and the Rabbanim and the rabbis. Rabbi Tarfon says that Karen in Reshut HaNizak pays Nezek Shalem.
Right.
We learned that in Mishnah Dalet of the previous Mishnah. We've talked about it since then. The Rabbanan hold that Karen in Reshut and Izak pays Chatzin Ezek just like in Reshut Rabim. With all that information, we go back to the Mishnah and we scratch our heads or we scratch our beards depending on what's available. Yeah. And we read again. Ketzad, from the beginning. Ketzad, Hashem mu'edet lechol deruila. In what sense, how so is the Shein forewarned eat that which is fitting for it? Habeima mu'edet lechol perot birakot. The animal is forewarned to eat fruits and vegetables. Achlak suto keli mishalem chatzin nezik. But if it eats clothing or utensils, it only pays half nezik. So when we read it like that, in a retzif, in a continuum of one sentence, which is the way it should be read, It looks like it's saying that under the same circumstance, in the same scenario, if it ate one thing, it pays nezek shalem. It's a different thing, it pays chatzi. If it eats that which is fitting for it, what you should have expected, what it's forewarned for, you have to pay the whole thing. If it ate something it shouldn't have eaten, you weren't expecting it, then you pay half.
But
that would mean it's all talking in the same reshut.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
And it's since it began with Shein, which is clearly Reshut and Izak, the domain of the person who was damaged, I expect that's what it's talking about throughout, even when it talks about Ksut and Kelim, with vessels and clothing and utensils. But it could be talking about Reshut and Izak throughout, only according to the Rabbanan, and not according to Rabbi Tarfon. Because Rabbi Tarfon says that Ksut and Kelim, that is to say, Karen, unexpected, in Reshut HaNizak would pay Nezek Shalem, full Nezek. And here it only says, Chatzi Nezek. So, you could say the Mishnah is according to Rabbanan, and that's fine, but how is Rabbi Tarfon going to read it? I mean, he also has to read the Mishnah. Rabbi Tarfon will be forced to read the Mishnah a little bit awkwardly. Right, that the Mishnah is switching from reshut to reshut, from domain to domain.
Rabbi Tarfon is Amora or Tana?
Tana.
Ah, so does he need to read?
Doesn't he just disagree?
Can he not disagree? Right.
It could be that he would disagree. It could.
And it could be that he didn't know this Mishnah?
You're right, that all could be.
Yeah.
And actually, we're going to see in Mishnah 5 that this machlok is actually mentioned.
Well, if you're talking about the tooth being Karen anyway,
why? Well, wait a second. You said the tooth being Karen.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of contradictory to say that.
But aren't you saying that's what it is?
You're right.
To try to be I am. Something that's not.
We wouldn't say it in the fashion you said it, because it's like saying if you're talking about black being white.
Yeah, but that's what the whole. Right away, you're saying, well, we're talking about the tooth, so it's got to be here, but you're actually talking about the tooth when it's Karen, so it doesn't have to be there.
That's a good point. Mm-hmm. In other words, although the heading said Ketzad Hashein, you have to understand that heading applies only until the words Perot V'Yerakot, fruits and vegetables. But then it says kind of in parentheses, parenthetically, but by the way, if it ate the shirt off your back, that's not Shein. That's a whole different
I mean, are they saying that's Shein? I mean, I don't know.
It's not Shein. It's not Shein.
Well, then they shouldn't have started it that way, and it's organized poorly.
Mm-hmm. Parenthetical statement.
Mm-hmm.
We'd have to say that Achlak Suto Kelim Mishalem Chatzi Nezek is a parenthetical statement.
Mm-hmm.
So to sum up, if the halakha, if the Mishnah is like Rabbanan, that Shein pays Chatzi Nezek not only in Reshut, wrong, take it back. If the Mishnah is like Rabbanan, who hold that Karen pays Chatzi Nezek not only in Reshut HaRabim, but also in Reshut HaNizak, then it works. Then the Mishnah is fine, it flows.
Yes.
It flows.
Mm-hmm.
But if we are going to try to read the Mishnah according to Rabbi Tarfon,
we're in trouble.
We're in trouble. Because we'll
is
have
he
to.
Just talking about the Shane. I'm sorry to interrupt. Is he just talking about the Shane, or is he talking about Karen in general?
When it says achlak kasut, it ate clothing. Uh-huh. We've moved to Karen.
Okay, but Rabbi Tarfon is.
And Rabbi Tarfon said about Karen
in general.
That Karen, although the Torah says it pays Chatzi Nezek in Reshut Rabim, that's only in Reshut Rabim. If you're in Reshut HaNizak, in other words, trespassing, then Karen has to pay Nezek Shalem, full payment. And since that contradicts our Mishnah, so either this Mishnah doesn't agree with Rabbi Tarfon, that's possible, or Rabbi Tarfon would have to say, the minute it starts talking about Achlak Sutu Kelim, the animal ate clothing or vessels, it moved from Reshut HaRabim to Reshut HaNizak, which is strange and awkward.
It's very awkward because it's not about that. So if it's about that, why would they leave it out?
Go talk to Rabbi Tarfon.
But you're working with stream of association.
Understood.
You're forcing it to do that because you want it to be nice, but I'm sorry, it's not.
Okay, so I said that it makes more sense according to Rabbanan.
Okay.
Makes more sense according to Rabbanan. Okay. By the way, what we just did is question six.
Oh.
Why do you think that if Achlak Sutu Kelim Mishalem Chatzi Nezek, and the answer is because it is Karen, and that's the continuation of the question. What Avni Zikim would it fall under? Karen.
Mm-hmm.
Karen. And that brings us to question seven. In what dilemma do we find ourselves when we try to figure out in which reshut the animal ate the ksuto kelim? We just did that for the past 5 minutes.
Rabbanan or Tarfon.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, look at question eight. Could you think of any case of achlak ksuto kelim in which there might be reason to believe that it would be classified as a normal case of shame and would have to pay Nezek Shalem?
If it was a goat.
Yeah, I can think of a goat.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. Another case.
If it was a bizarre animal that had always been...
Mu'ad.
Known to do
Mu'ad.
And it then I said Mu'ad? In parentheses that it's not what you just said. The reference is not to the case of an animal being Mu'ad. Lechol ksuto kelim.
Oh.
So I'm asking here a hard question.
Wait a minute.
And,
when we say Shane, it's my recollection vaguely that Shane and Regal, they operate the same.
Yes.
And so, if it's really, if by saying Shane, they really mean Shane and Regal.
Let's hear what you have to say.
Because utensils ate a utensil, chewed up a utensil. I mean, it could have just broken it. Walking.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, I see. Oh,
but
I see what you're saying.
And Regal both refer to things that you
habitual.
Would that are habitual.
And so that would be
that you would expect this animal to do.
That's what I'm saying. But I mean, so the walking around and
what you're saying is 100% true, except that that's what the last Mishnah said, the previous Mishnah.
Mm-hmm.
As so the previous the Mishnah difference? Began, the first Mishnah of the chapter, of chapter 2, began Ketzad HaRegel.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And among the things it said there, that it walked and stepped on Kelim.
Oh, uh-huh.
So what you're saying is true, but we just mentioned in the previous Mishnah, whereas this Mishnah is really talking about Shane.
Uh-huh. Okay, right, got it.
So I'm going to give an example. So let's see. Where is my peyrot? It's the only peyrot we have here.
Ah, they have to eat what they enjoyed, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If they ate the whole thing, they paid the whole thing, no?
Well, if it benefited.
No, but if it benefited, what if...
No, we're talking like ksut v'kelim.
It's still not a case of shame.
Okay. So I'm going to give an example. Here's the peyrot, okay?
Okay.
And there's two ways to walk in Reshut HaRabim with these peyrot. Reshut HaYechid. There's two ways to leave the peyrot in Reshut HaYechid. Mm-hmm. One way to leave them there is just like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the other way is to leave them like this.
Covered.
Mm-hmm. That's the hint.
Okay.
What are peyrot?
Fruit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it was trying to get to the fruit.
And
damaged something else.
It damaged the other
food up
there. Trying to get to the...
Right. It's not the way of an ox or a dog to eat clothing or utensils, but it is their way to eat clothing or utensils if inside of the clothing utensils is fruit.
Is a fence considered a utensil if it breaks down a fence to get to the food?
That'll be a good question. In other words, it might be, this is an open question, it might be that it's certainly true if the animal ate tzutuk kelim and only has to pay chatzi nezek, but if it ate them in order to get to the peyrot, then perhaps that's a pay nezek shalem, because that's its derech, that's its way, that's what it's muad to do, is to break down
barriers,
and perhaps even fences.
It's like the raccoon that destroys your garbage can to get at the...
To the garbage.
At the garbage that's in there.
How did you know that we brought that case right here? Well, since you asked for it, I guess we'll have to read it.
We're going to get it. That's right.
She's a troublemaker.
Now we're going to get all
here
the,
we go.
The snakes.
Uh-oh.
And the...
Uh-oh.
So this is the Babylon and Talmud Tractate Baba Kama, pages 19b to 28. And it says...
Where is it?
B.
Yes,
19. Okay. Hahu Hamra...
Hamor?
Yes.
Hamor.
Yeah. Hahu Hamor, that donkey. And I don't know the difference between a donkey and an ass, so I don't know.
Ass is female.
Okay, so Hahu Hamra, that donkey. Da'ahal Nahama, that ate bread.
Nahama
is one of the many Aramaic words for bread. Hahu Hamra da'ahal Nahama. Vifalse lesala. And broke it to the sal, to the basket. In Aramaic, we say broke to, in the sense of broke it.
Broke it, broke the basket.
Mm-hmm. So that donkey that ate bread and broke the basket. In other words, the bread was in the basket, and he broke the basket to get to the bread.
Chayve
Rav Yehuda l'shalem nezek shalem a nahama. Literally, obligated him, Rav Yehuda, to pay full damage, on the bread. Ve'asala, and on the sal, right, sala is basket, chatzi nezek.
Because it was incidental.
Yeah, that was Rav Yehuda, because Rav Yehuda said, of course, that it's mu'ad to eat the bread.
But not the sal.
But it's not mu'ad to eat the sal. The eating of the sal... is simply Karen.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess he holds, like Rabbanan, that Karen in Reshut Nizak is Chatzi Nezek, like our Mishnah seems to hold.
Mm-hmm.
Reshut, what did you say?
Reshut Nizak,
okay.
The private domain. And that's possible, right? It makes sense. But the Gemara says, Amai. Why? The first word of the second line, V'amai, and why? Kevan de orche lemichal nahama orche nami lifluse sala. Translation from the second word of the line. Since that it's its way, orche is its way, like orechaim, right, is the way of life. Kevan de orche lemichal nahama, since its way is to eat bread, lemichal is to eat. In the Hebrew, it's leachol. You have an aleph there instead of the mem. Since its way is to eat bread, or cheinami, its way also, nami means also, liflose sala, to break the basket.
Sure, because it's going to really try to get at it.
Therefore, we're saying it should have to pay nisek shalem, even on the basket. That's part of what it normally does, is break baskets to eat bread. So the Gemara says... we have a way to explain why Rav Yehuda only obligated Chatzi Nezek. And the way is three words. Dachal v'hatar palis.
What is palis?
Palis is the same word, lifluse, to break.
Ah.
That it ate and afterwards it broke.
Ah.
Dachal that ate v'hadar and it returned. Hadar's returned. Mm-hmm. Felice. Broke.
Don't in other you words, have a break to get to the food?
No, you're right. Had the case been one in which the donkey broke the basket in order to get to the food, Rav Yehuda would have said, Nezek Shalem on the basket. But this particular case must have been one in which, no, the animal broke the basket afterwards, not on its way to get the bread. There's two separate acts.
Question. Okay. Did he break the basket with his teeth?
Or with his feet?
Or with his feet?
I guess it wouldn't
because
matter.
Because this is the Shen Moed.
But it, right, Shen doesn't have to be with teeth.
Ah,
right.
It is kind
but,
of...
But even if it was with Regel, even if it was with his feet, it would be Karen because it's not a normal... That's
right.
From the prior Mishnah.
Right. So here the Gemara thinks that it makes so much sense and it's so logical that an animal should have to pay Nizek Shalem if it breaks the basket on the way to getting the bread. That makes so much sense that the Gemara says, I'm sure Rav Yehuda would agree with us. And even though it looks like he doesn't agree with us, we'll have to reinterpret his words to make them agree with us. And we'll have to say, when he said Chatzi Nezek on the basket, what he meant was only in a case in which the break in the basket came after the eating of the bread. But he would agree. Of course he would agree. If it came as part of the eating of the bread,
the donkey was dancing, dancing.
Then it would be Nezek Shalem.
Yeah.
Right.
On the donkey basket. Was so happy.
And here's a case. Now here's your case. Jan, here's your case coming up now. Ahu barcha, that goat.
Barcha is a goat?
Yes. Ahu barcha. Dechaza lifta apuma didana. Translation. That goat, dechaza, that saw. Right? The word chaz in Aramaic is see. And everyone knows, because you know chazon, right? Chazon is vision. The chazon Yirmiyahu. Hazon Yishayahu ben Amotz, right? The vision of Yishayahu, the son of Amotz. So that goat, that saw lifta.
Who's lifta?
Lifta is lefet, a turnip, turnips.
Oh,
lefet.
People don't eat turnips anymore so much today.
I like.
My wife likes turnips.
I like them too.
I think they have no taste, but the goat thought differently. So anyway, Hahu barcha dechaza, third line, lifta apuma didana. Apuma means on the mouth. Pum in Aramaic is peh, mouth. Mm-hmm. Didana, of the barrel. The mouth of the barrel is the top of the barrel. So here's a goat, and it sees a turnip on top of a barrel. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then it says, the fourth word of the line, sarich, climbed, salik, went up. It climbed on the barrel and went up, obviously to get the turnip.
What's
and
it's going to break.
What is sarich and what is salik?
Sarich is to climb, and salik is to go up.
And it's going to break.
What's the difference between sarich? I don't understand. Tipsa ve tipsa?
No, tipsa and went up.
Velta?
Yeah.
Tipsa velta?
Achla lelifta, it ate to the turnip. And again, it says it's ate to. It's not ate the. It's ate to the turnip.
Like in Chatgadia, ve'achla.
Right, that's Aramaic. Achla lelifta, v'tavra ledana. Now that word tavra, you should know that very often a tav in Aramaic would be a shin in Hebrew. So replaced with a shin, it would be shavra.
Like to
right.
And shul.
Right. Right. So, achla lelifta v'tavra ledana. I should have said tavre. It means broke it. Ledana. It broke it to the barrel. It broke the barrel. Mm-hmm. It's a double direct object. Mm-hmm. In Aramaic, it's a double indirect object.
Oh, climbing on top of it, yeah.
Right? So, this animal saw the turnip on top of the barrel. It went up and climbed the barrel. It ate the turnip and broke the barrel. Chai vei rava alifta ve'adana nezek shalem. Obligated him, rava, on the lifta and on the barrel nezek shalem. Rava said you have to pay Nisuk Shlim on both of them, not just on the turnip, but also for the barrel. And we understand why. Because the breaking of the barrel was part of the eating of the turnip. And says the Gemara, my ta'ama, what's the reason? Kevan de'orche lemicha lifta, since it's his way to eat lifta, turnips, or chanami, it's also its way, lisruche vilimsalek.
To climb up there and break.
To climb up and to go, to climb and to go up.
Kashia, I have a problem. Because here we say precisely that the beima achla ksut, not shavra ksut, but achla. So if it ate or it broke, it's the same rule?
If the eating or the breaking was part of the process of eating what's inside or what's there on the way.
Okay.
At the end, I should say, not on the way. If it's on the way to doing what its normal way is.
So we use achal as a kind of a general beit av kind of.
Well, yeah, it's part of the eating.
Yeah.
It's part of the eating. Okay? So we can go back to the Mishnah.
So in other words, expect your raccoon to break into your garbage can.
But then there's nobody to pay.
Yeah.
Right.
See,
that's the problem. So now, back to the Mishnah. We had said that you have to pay nezek shalem on the peirot yirakot. You have to pay only chatzi nezek on the clothing, on the vessels. And we're kind of assuming this is according to Rabbanan, that it's all in Reshut and Izak. And then the Gemara says...
The Mishnah.
Thank you. The Mishnah. B'me dvarim amurim. In what are these words spoken? Right, that's a common phrase to define what we're talking about. B'me dvarim amurim.
Where are we? Thank you.
Where are we? Someone tell her where we are.
Right.
You have a
line
different printing than I do.
Five.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Bamid amurim birshut hanizak. In the domain of the nizak, which is obvious. And we, since we've been thinking about this so hard, we knew that already. Aval birshut harabim patur. But had it been in Reshut Rabim, Patur. Is that true?
What's Patur?
Patur means?
Free.
Free and exempt.
Right. Exempt. Exempt. You don't have to pay anything.
Wait a minute. If it was...
I thought it was half.
Well, it depends what the it is.
Yeah.
What it are you talking about?
Are we talking about
Wait
the Ksut and Kelim, or are we talking about
Lechol
Peot?
Ah, yeah. Right. That's the question.
Right.
So what's the answer?
I didn't understand. Say the question again, please.
Say the question.
What'd you say?
The question is whether we refer to the first half of eating fruit and vegetables, or whether we refer to eating clothing and utensils.
Right.
Okay, that's the question, and what's the answer?
Well, isn't it supposed to be both of them? Isn't that what we're talking about?
Well, let's extrapolate back from the deen, from the law. If the law is that in Reshut Rabim Patur, then are we talking about both or one? And if one, which one? What is Patur in Reshut Rabim?
In Reshut Rabim,
wouldn't it be Shane?
Karen.
It's classic places in Reshut Rabim. That's where Karen always plays Chatzin Ezek. That's what the Torah is talking about when it says if the ox gores. You have to pay Chatzin Ezek, that's in Reshut Rabim.
That's what this says.
It's no, but we're talking about Shem.
But the question, what are we talking about?
Shem.
It says Reshut Rabim Patur, but what are we talking about?
Shem.
So we can't be talking about the Ksuta Kelim, because that's Karen. And Karen is not Patur in Reshut Rabim.
No,
Karen has to pay. It has to be Shem. Because Shem is Patur in Reshut Rabim. Remember the story, that Shem and Regel pay nezek shalem when there's trespassing involved.
But
wait a second. But in Reshut Rabim, we said that it's made for animals to walk. And when animals walk, they trample and they eat. And if they eat your fruit in Reshut Rabim, it's your tough luck. Because you should have known that the Reshut Rabim was made for animals to walk. And when they walk, they eat and they trample. And you shouldn't put your fruit there. It's not made for it. It's made for travel. It's made for animals walking from point A to point B. So Shein and Regel are Paturim completely. No Chatzin Ezek. Completely Paturim. In Reshut Rabim.
But you couldn't expect it to be Karen, at which point you get Chatzin Nezek, because why should I have expected it to come and, you know, eat my shirt tail?
Right.
But what if you left your turnip on the barrel in Reshut Rabim?
It depends where the barrel was, but if it was really in Reshut Rabim, in the middle of Reshut Rabim, then Patur. You're right. It's your problem of leaving your turnip there.
Yeah.
Reshut Rabim is not a place for turnips.
I never leave my turnip.
No, I wouldn't.
So,
definitely not on top of a barrel you wanted to keep.
So therefore, when it says, Aval the Reshut Rabim Patur, it is just about certainly talking only about the statement that a beimam mu'edid lechol perot b'irakot.
Not really. Well, are you supposed to leave your barrels or your possessions in Reshut Rabim and expect it not to be trampled?
Well,
trampled? Who said trampled?
No crazy ox is going to go sticking holes in it.
If you hang laundry in Reshut Rabim, you expect it to
But that would be chatzin.
Right, we don't say hung laundry, because that is not what we're talking about. That's really something you don't do in Reshut Rabim, and as we'll see later, there might be a special law.
So where do you leave kelim in Reshut Rabim?
On my head.
Oh.
In my knapsack. On the back of my animal.
Yeah.
Oh.
Ah.
You give me so many possibilities.
So if your animal comes and eats the saddle on the back of my animal in Reshut Rabim, that is Karen.
That's true.
That's absolutely Karen. And that has to pay Chatzin Nezek. I'm sorry, you don't... That shouldn't happen. If it does...
Right. Mm-hmm.
So what that means is when it says Aval B'Reshut Rabim Patur, it wasn't talking about the Achlak Sut O'Kelim. It was talking about the Perot Birakot.
But if your pack animal in Reshut Rabim has open baskets filled with Perut V'Yirakot, then
tough luck,
expect it to be at risk, and you may get the baskets damaged as a process of getting at the
transport Perut V'Yirakot in Reshut Rabim, they should be closed. Mm-hmm. I guess enclosed
but
strong enough.
Closed, the animal will sniff it and
strong enough right. So that
well, you have to be guarding,
other animals
you have to be
won't
watching
eat.
It and guarding it and going shoo shoo shoo.
So the conclusion of what we just said brings us back to something we said 5 minutes ago, which is that the words achlak sut o kelim mishalem chatzin nezek are in parentheses. They're parenthetical. They're not the point. They're not shen, and they're not the point. The Mishnah has been talking about shen. And when it says b'med varim amorim, and what are these things talking about? Reshut and Izak, val b'reshut rabim patur. It's going back to what the Mishnah's main subject is, shen, and the matter of Karen there of the eating the vessels, and the clothing was really parenthetical.
Yeah.
A small little point. They've translated b'reshut harabim as offender's domain. Is that just a mistake?
Yes.
Okay.
It's public domain. It's commons.
Common.
Yeah, it's the public
it's
domain.
It's the commons.
Yeah.
That's why I asked the question.
Yeah. Indeed so.
Yeah.
Didn't they do that in the prior?
Okay. Okay. Let's compare this Mishnah to the previous Mishnah. For a moment. Let's read the previous Mishnah.
Oh, yes, you're right. It's a wrong translation.
No, there's an errata. That's what you say it at the end of the book?
Yes.
You want to see if it does anything? That was in the days when they didn't have computers.
No, that's index.
I'm sure there is. I remember
what
there is.
What do you call it?
Maybe further.
Errata. Glossary.
Usually those come along in later versions or reprints.
I might have the first version, maybe. Oh, here's something. Appendix?
The appendix has further notes, I guess. Thought there was also an errata there.
General reference notes.
No. Okay, so I'm wrong?
Maybe right in the front.
Oh.
Sometimes they put it in the front.
Yeah.
Well, this doesn't talk about the Zorot.
Mine is Motzah Shniyah, so maybe
okay.
later.
Okay. So anyway, going to the first Mishnah of Perek Bet, it said, Ketzad ha-regel mu'edet l'shaber b'derech hilucha. How so is the regel forewarned to break in the way of its walking? Ha-beimua mu'edet l'alech k'darkav l'shaber. The beima is forewarned to walk in its way and to break. Ha-tam ve'etet. But if it was kicking, which of course means we're moving from regel to keren again, just like in our Mishnah, it's the same pattern. In our Mishnah, it said achlaksut as a parenthetical example of keren. In the previous Mishnah, haitam miva'edit is again going from it's talking about regel to talking about keren.
There's a unity of structure.
Yes, unity of structure. O shayu tzorot nitazim mitachat raglei v'shibrat kelim, or tzorot shooting up from under its feet, Mishalem Chatzin Ezek. The same pattern as in our Mishnah. And that's parenthetical, I would say. And then it says, right, so then it just gives an example. Why did I read that in Mishnah 1? In order to say the following, that when our Mishnah says, B'medvar Dvarim Amorim, in what are these matters stated, Birshut and Isaac, Aval Birshut Rabim Patur, it's really going not just on our Mishnah, but also on the previous Mishnah.
Oh!
I just have to imagine the structure. It's like you have Mishnah Aleph, Mishnah Bet, and then Bemed Vremurim is not after Mishnah Bet, it's covering both of them.
Cases.
Covering both of them. And it's not covering the parenthetical part that was talking about Karen. Okay. And now we go on to the rest of the Mishnah. Ready?
Okay. Ready.
It says, Ve'im nehenet mishalem ma shenehenet.
If it was not tasty, she shouldn't pay.
No,
yeah, it didn't like it. You don't have to pay.
So that's not what nehenet means.
I know, but it sounds like that.
Yeah. So that's, I guess, modern Hebrew, which we've talked about that. So after we said that if it was in Rashut the Rabim, right, if this Shane or Regul was in Rashut the Rabim, it's Patur. But if it got benefit, you pay
for the benefit.
Mm-hmm. In other words, if my animal ate your fruit in Rashut HaRabim, I don't have to pay for the Nezek. And if they were, let's say, exotic bananas worth a lot of money, so the owner of the bananas is out a lot of money. But I did save myself from feeding my animal when we get home. So I can pay you, I should pay you, I must pay you, not the cost of the damage I did, but the cost of the meal that I saved.
Yeah.
What if it made the animal sick?
Oh, very good question.
Good question.
Yeah.
If it made the animal sick, then I don't have to pay the cost of a meal.
Oh. But you didn't get benefit.
There's no benefit.
You don't get to charge the person who left their bananas out.
Because not only did you not get benefit, but you now got to pay. You got now to spend money to take care of your sick animal.
Yeah, and I can't charge anyone because he was allowed to transport Perot and Rashuta
Rabim.
Rabim, right.
Mm-hmm. That's
but
what it's made
definitely
for.
Didn't say anything.
And actually, you should have guarded your animal from eating things it's allergic.
Absolutely.
No? I say okay, dogs cannot
do.
Eat chocolate.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I don't know enough to give an answer to that.
And a dog passes a chocolatier.
Remember, we did talk about a case in which an animal got sick. Mm-hmm. Remember that case? That was when a woman went into my mill without permission to grind her grain, and my animal ate her grain and got sick. And there she has to pay for the doctor bills, because she wasn't allowed in my mill.
Right, she was trespassing.
But Rashut HaRabim is different.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's just tough luck.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then we go on in the Mishnah. Ketzad mishalem mashenehenet. How does one pay that which the animal benefited? And the answer goes into detail we're not expecting. Very interesting. Achla mitoch ha-rechava mishalem mashanenet. If it ate, and again the word eat here is in the feminine, because mm-hmm. it is the animal that's the subject, which mm-hmm. is feminine. If it ate from the rechava, from the square, literally, in the sense of the town square, mishalem mashanenet. It pays what it benefit. That's when you have to pay the benefit you got from your animal eating a free meal.
So you would put that like into the community?
No, just wait a second. See what that says. See what the contrast is.
No. The merchant.
Mitzidei ha-rechava mishalem mashizika. From the sides of the square, pay what it damaged.
On the side of the square are the stores?
It's not clear to me.
Yeah, what's the side?
It's not the stores necessarily, but what we have here is an assumption that the sides of Rishut Rabim are a quasi-Rishut HaYechid.
Oh.
That's what I'm saying.
In the sense of...
It's like if you have your baskets right on hanging on your wall of your property, then that's considered your property.
Part. Well, I'm not sure. We'll see. I'm not sure about that. Perhaps you're right, but I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. But think more of Rishut HaRabim and think perhaps of a place where there are like hitching posts for the horses, and then the area beyond the hitching posts, which is not made for the horses to walk. There it's made for something else. So if you had your fruit in the Rishut HaRabim, in the section of Rishut HaRabim that's made for the horses to walk, and there someone's horse ate your peirot or trampled on it, it's tough luck. But if you specifically put your peirot beyond the hitching posts, b'tzidei Rishut HaRabim, the side of Rishut HaRabim, and there it was eaten, so the Mishnah says, there the horse's owner has to pay not just what it benefited, but what it damaged.
Yes.
And the assumption seems to be that we're relating to the side of Rishut HaRabim like Rishut HaYechid. It's if the animal went where it wasn't supposed to go.
Especially since he adds the Chanut here.
Right. We didn't get to that yet. Right. So to summarize, in the part of Rishut HaRabim that's made for animals to walk, there and only there is where Shein and Regulus Patur, Patur from paying Nezik, and you only have to pay the benefit of the meal. But there's some parts of Rishut HaRabim that are quasi Rishut HaYechid, which are not made for animals walking. They're made for putting your things down. And if you put your things down there, an animal came and ate, well, you put them down with permission, and the animal that ate them wasn't supposed to be there, and it's the same law as Rishut HaNizak,
right.
Which means that you have to pay Nezek Shalem.
So you pay for whatever the bananas were worth.
Yes.
If they're rare bananas, you
have to pay for the bananas, right. Yeah. Which brings us to the stores. Here we come to the stores. So it says as follows. The last nine or so words of the Mishnah.
Well, what would the animal be doing inside the chanut?
Okay. Mipetach hachanut mishalem mashenhenet. From the entrance of the store, pay what it benefit. Mitoch hachanut, from within the store, mishalem mashizika. Pay what it damaged. So here, we have an animal that's walking, and if it eats things that are outside the store, like the storekeeper put his stuff in Rishut HaRabim, then it's tough luck to the storekeeper. The animal's allowed to walk there. Apparently, this is not a place where there are hitching posts, for example, that are separating the rechava, the central area, from the sides. Here, the animals are allowed to walk all the way up to the edge of the stores. And if the storekeeper put something out there and the animal knocked it down or trampled it or ate it, then the storekeeper, all he gets back is... the value of the meal, he saved the owner of the animal. But if the animal stuck its head into the store and ate, then the animal wasn't supposed to be there. That really is Rishut HaNizak. And the owner of the animal has to pay Nezek Shalem.
Exotic bananas.
So even if the feet of the animal in Rishut HaRabim, if its head was in Rishut HaNizak, we judge it according to the head, right? It trespasses.
Part that does the damage.
Part that does the damage.
Or the feet in case it trampled. Yeah.
Now, I have to warn you that there's a strange case. What happened if the animal with its trunk took the food from the store but didn't eat it, but ate it outside? That comes up in the next Mishnah.
Wow. Oh, well, no. I think that has to count, well, though, just actually, like if it ate it in the store.
Believe it or not, it's complicated. Really?
Actually, it's like a dog. If they grab from the butcher something and run away.
How did you know? That's next Mishnah, the dog that grabs.
I'm just thinking which animal will do it.
I gave an example of an elephant, but a dog is the same thing, and that's what the Mishnah talks about. The next Mishnah talks about a dog.
Kalba.
Okay. So, it does seem from here that we judge not according to where the feet of the animal are, but where the damaging part of the animal is. If it went into the store, then it's eating in the store, and that's Reshut Nizak. You have to pay Nizak Shalem, because what is your animal's muzzle doing in my store? Mm-hmm. Wasn't allowed there. Okay, so this is pretty interesting.
Well, the store is Reshut Hayachid, no?
Yeah.
Then the store is Reshut Hayachid. Why bother to explain it? It is Reshut Hayachid.
Well, someone might have said that the animal was in Reshut Rabim. So what do you want?
Okay. It was actually standing outside the chanut, and it reached in and grabbed something.
And you could have said, what are you doing putting your produce so close to the door of the store so that the animal standing outside could get to it? But no, you have permission, apparently, to put stuff in your store as close to the door as you want.
You pay property tax for the whole store.
Mm-hmm. It reminds me of those gulls that went into that one store.
The store would go in. A gull would go in and get the little bags of chips and run out with them.
Really? And eat them outside.
And eat them outside.
Seagulls?
A seagull. It's a
you
film.
You guys keep picking up these wildlife.
Let me have your email address and I'll send it to
but
you.
Okay. The deal is, it's not really common. I mean, it's common. If you have a store, you're inviting people in. So it's not really your private area.
But you're not inviting, the animal to come
space.
In.
So you're not inviting them.
Right. No, because to say it more in the vocabulary we've used, the person's not trespassing.
Yeah, right.
If they're in the store.
Well, at least the person is allowed to be there. Maybe the animal's not.
But you can ask of someone that comes into a place of commerce.
But is the dog allowed in there? Is the horse allowed in there?
The animal's maybe not.
Yeah.
If you have a place that says dog's welcome, if you're PetSmart,
or if it's a
and
helper
you
dog.
Say that the dog is welcome and the dog does some stuff, well,
In Germany, I saw people bringing dogs to beauty salons and to restaurants.
Everywhere.
And they sit on the little table and they put food in the plate for the doggy.
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The most strange thing.
We're going to read a passage of Gemara that I listed as C here. Talmud Bavli Masechet Bava Kama Daf Chaf Amud Aleph, page 28.
Mm-hmm.
And of course I brought it because it's directly relevant to the Mishnah we just read. It says as follows. Achlak Sut V'chule. According from the Mishnah, it ate clothing V'chule, etc. Mm-hmm. Now, very often, that word etc. is important, because it indicates that the Gemara might not be relating just to the two words we quoted, but it might be relating to the etc. And you don't really know how much of the etc. is really relevant until you read the passage of the Gemara to figure out what it's going on in the Mishnah. So, says the Gemara, Ahaya, on what? Or it's this passage from the Mishnah, on what is it going? And we don't know yet what part of the passage from the Mishnah they're talking about until we go on and read. Amar Rav, akulhu. That word akulhu is two words. A, hulhu, on, all of it. It's going on all of it. We still don't know what's going on. My ta'ama, what's the reasoning? Kol hamishaneh uva acher v'shinabo patur. All that mishaneh. Language is like shoneh, different.
Mm-hmm.
All that does differently. Now, it's someone who doesn't behave according to the norm. All that behaves abnormally. That would be my translation of kol ha-mishaneh. anyone who behaves abnormally, uva acher v'shinabo, and comes another and behaves abnormally, patur.
So exempt. If somebody's copying?
Oh, no, I'll explain.
It's a kagonev miganev.
Not exactly, let me explain. Karen, why does Karen pay chatzin ezek?
Because
it's abnormal.
Mm-hmm.
It's abnormal. Mm-hmm. So if your animal gores another animal in Reshut Rabim, chatzin ezek. Mm-hmm. But if your animal gores another animal and that other animal was behaving abnormally, then it might be patur. Because it might be the other animal's abnormal behavior antagonize my animal to behave abnormally. So that's what's
patur,
included.
The first one? Patur. You're patur from
I'm
the
patur. And that's what it says. Kole mishane. Uva acher v'shinabo patur. Every abnormal, another comes in abnormals, patur.
Well, what if the abnormal
So abnormal one
I mean, what does abnormal mean?
We'll have to define. But a good example is, usually an animal that gores in Reshut Terabim, that's abnormal, pays chatzin nezek. But if your animal was behaving abnormally in Reshut Terabim and that caused my animal to gore your animal, then I might not have to pay chatzin nezek, because I can say, it's your fault for your animal behaving abnormally. It antagonized my animal.
Why are you saying might? I might not have to.
Because my example might not be a good example. Let's read on and see.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But you know what? You're right. My example was a good example. Uh-huh. So that particular case is true. That's what we're talking about.
Okay.
So anyway, we still don't know what the context is. The context is the word patur. That is the word that gives it away. Let's go back to our Mishnah and see where the word patur is. So going back to our Mishnah, we had read, right smack in the middle of the Mishnah. Right, and the whole phrase was the medvrim amarim, and what are these words stated? Birshut nizak, in the reshut of the damaged person. Aval birshut rabim patur, but in the public domain patur. And if you remember, when we read those words, the medvrim amarim, and what is this stated? We asked the question, what is it referring to? They're referring to do the achla peirot v'yirakot, or referring to the achla ksut? Just let me say that again. That's important. When we read the Mishnah, we had read that the animal that eats fruit pays nezek shalem. The one that eats clothing pays half nezek.
Yes.
And then the Mishnah said, and what is this talking about? Reshut nizak, but not reshut rabim. And we said that the words, what is it talking about? What are they talking about? What are they relating to? And we had said in this room, it's only referring to the eating of fruit.
Yes. Uh-huh.
But it's not referring to the eating of the clothing. It's the Bemed Varim Amorim. What is it talking about? Only in Reshut Nizak, not in Reshut Rabim. That wasn't referring to the clothing. It was referring only to the fruit.
The primary part of the...
Mm-hmm. Primary part of the sentence. Which, the other part is in parentheses.
Down in parentheses.
So we, in this room, already struggled with the question of what is the phrase, quote, what is it talking about, end quote, what is it talking about? But the Gemara is asking the question we asked ourselves. And the Gemara is asking that question with one word, ahaya, on what? When it says on what, it means the words, b'me, v'rim, amorim, what is this talking about? Well, what are those words going on?
Okay.
And the Gemara's first answer is akulhu, on everything.
Al-kulhu.
What does on everything mean? Not only the fruits and vegetables, but also the ksut, the clothing. So that's the Gemara's first answer. And we in this room rejected that when we discussed it half an hour ago. But that's what the Gemara says. So the Gemara now gives a rationale for the conclusion would come to when we're to assume that it's going on everything. In other words, it would be saying that eight clothing in Reshut Rabim Patur. How could it say eating clothing in Reshut Rabim is Patur? Because we said to ourselves, that is Karen.
Karen.
Shouldn't be patur. It should be chatzinezek. Why would it be patur? The suggestion of the Gemara is it might be patur because it's abnormality that is antagonized by abnormality. In other words, how could it be that eating clothing in Reshut HaRabim is patur? Perhaps it's a case in which the animal ate the clothing because it was antagonized by abnormal behavior.
Isn't it the hook?
That's kind of weird.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. But that would be... let me just make sure I'm right about this. I've lost my train of thought. Aklak suta kelim patur, right? It'd be patur. Yeah, that's the suggestion.
So in effect, the Gemara is sort of saying, what is it going on? Well, let's test it out. Could it be going on everything? That would mean that it must be saying that there's some exception here, because otherwise it doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. So it must be they were antagonized, and so that would be explained how it could go on everything.
Right. Yes.
Right. Now we're going to get another shot at this, aren't we?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Of course. Yeah.
That's Rav, right?
That's Rav's opinion. Mm-hmm. Rav is in the first generation of Amoraim of Bavel.
So now we're going to get
Vishmuel Amar. Shmuel is the last word of the first line. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Shmuel Amar, Lo Shanu Ela Perot Virakot. Lo Shanu, it's not learned upon, right? Shanu, like Vishinantam Levanech, you should teach them to their children. It's not taught upon, except Perot Virakot. It's only referring to Perot Virakot when it says, what are these things talking about Reshut HaNizak but not Reshut HaRabim? That was the eating of Perot Virakot, the fruit and vegetables. Aval Ksuta V'Kelim, but the Ksuta Kelim, when it said Patur, it wasn't referring to Ksuta Kelim and Reshut HaRabim, because that really would be Chayav. So Shmuel reads it the way that we read it, that really the Ksuta Kelim is in parentheses. Where the Gemara says it's only in Reshut HaNizak but in Reshut HaRabim Patur, it wasn't referring to the Ksut and Kelim. Mm-hmm.
Don't they work together, Rav and Shmuel?
They work together in the sense that they argue against each other.
I thought there's kind of two Av Beit Din. No.
The Gemara is full of machlokot,
But Rav and Shmuel are often kind of together.
Yeah, but they're usually
together in the
disagree.
Sense of machlokot.
Yes, yeah. I thought they were together, kind of in the same academy. No.
It just come to mind, literally, that there are hundreds of arguments between them. One that just comes to mind for some strange reason right now is a machlok concerning the Haggadah of Pesach.
That's true.
Right, we have, the Mishnah says that we begin telling this story, Matchil Bignut Umisayim B'Shevach.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We begin telling the story with disgrace, we tell the lowly beginnings, and then we go up to the good stuff. Mm-hmm. There's a machloket, Rav Shmuel, what disgrace do we begin with? One says we begin with slavery, the other says we begin hundreds of years early, before that, with Avodah Zarah. Mm-hmm. What is the disgrace of the Jewish people? Was it the slavery, or was it what came before that, the idolatry? Mm-hmm. Just for example. Okay.
It always appears like they were in the same room arguing. Mm-hmm.
They lived at the same time. They could have been sometimes in the same room.
But they were usually arguing.
Yes.
Okay, so then...
V'chein
amar Reish Lakish akulhu. And so said Reish Lakish akulhu. It's on all of it. In other words, on all of it, that the Karen is patur in Reshut HaRabim, and the way to explain that is by saying that it was Karen that was instigated by abnormal behavior. And then the Gemara says, "Va'azda Reish Lakish l'ta'ame." The word "va'azda" it means to go, and it's a
like
technical.
Asla?
Yes,
va'azda.
Just like "azla," but it has a technical meaning. It's the last two words of the second line, and it "azda ex l'ta'ame" means what we see him saying here fits in with his overall approach. It goes according to his priorly known reasoning. Va'azda Reish Lakish l'tamei, and goes Reish Lakish according to his reasoning, according to his well-known reasoning. Mm-hmm. And we bring another statement from Reish Lakish that seems to bear out this principle that says that Karen and Rishut Rabim, if it's instigated by abnormal behavior, is
patur.
And it's the third word of the third line after the comma. Da'amar Reish Lakish, as had said Reish Lakish, shtei parot b'Rishut Rabim, two cows in Rishut Rabim, mm-hmm. ahat rivutza v'ahat mahalechet, one lying down and one walking.
Mm-hmm.
Now, lying down in Rishut Rabim is not what cows are supposed to do.
Right.
The cow is abnormaling.
Ah, so that's mishaneh.
That's the mishaneh. That's the abnormaling. Ba'ata mahalechet perivutza. Kick the walking one.
Like kids.
The lying down one.
Yeah.
Pitura. Exempt.
Yeah. Because animals will do that. If one of them, like, collapses, the others will come over and pick on them.
And it's the fault of the one that collapsed. It's not the fault of the one that kicked.
Well, it's not really anybody's fault in the case of animals.
But the ones who did the kicking, it's a response. It's a reaction. It's a response.
It's a reaction. Mm-hmm. And therefore, it doesn't have to pay chatzi nezek.
Mm-hmm.
It's patur.
But patur. I thought we started talking about... well, we're still talking about...
Because we're giving an example...
Karen.
Of this
right.
We're not talking about eating clothing anymore.
Well, eating clothing could be an example of this. There could be a case that the animal ate clothing because it was antagonized by some strange behavior.
You know,
it gets kind of iffy because strange behavior could be happening over here and... You could say, that my cow saw that, and then he did this.
What if the person has done something that to directly antagonize or tease or somehow or other agitate this animal, and the animal, out of self-defense, reaches out and grabs the clothing and tears off a chunk of it?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We had
I wasn't
a few
there.
Years ago... In the Dallas Zoo.
Yes, where the kids were taunting
the
gorilla.
Yes, taunting the gorilla.
And it was usually a tame gorilla.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Glad I wasn't there.
Oh, yes.
Okay, so anyway, we talked about the case of the end of the third line, beginning of the fourth line.
Now, Reish Lakish is Amora or Tana?
Yes, Amora.
Amora.
Oh. Reish Lakish is the Harut of Rabbi Yochanan. Same generation, except in Eretz Yisrael. Rav and Shmuel are in Babylon.
Ah,
Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan are in Eretz Yisrael. So anyway, the animal that was walking kicked the animal that was lying down. So the kicker is exempt. Even though it's Karen, but it was antagonized. But then in the third word of the fourth line, Rivutza b'mahalechet, the lying down one to the walking one, that is the lying down one kicked the walking one. Chayevet. Chayevet. Then it's Karen that's chayevet. How much is a chayevet, by the way? Chatsi nezek. Kicking is Karen, is chatsi nezek. Because the one that was lying down, so the one walking, and walking can't be classified as antagonizing. It was just walking, you're allowed to walk. So if the lying down one kicked the walking one, then the owner of the lying down one has to pay. Chatsi nezek, like any Karen.
Okay.
So that could be the principle, again, behind our Mishnah to explain why perhaps if you read in a certain way, you're patur even for Karen. That's the opinion of Reish Lakish. The Rabbi Yochanan Amar. Mm-hmm. Rabbi Yochanan holds differently. Lo shanu ela peirot v'yirakot.
Like us.
Mm-hmm. We didn't learn it except for peirot v'yirakot. In other words, when it says Rishut Rabim is patur, it was only talking about the peirot v'yirakot. It was only talking about the shein. It wasn't talking about the karen. Aval ksut v'kelim, new line chayevet. But as far as ksut v'kelim, if the animal ate them, even in Rishut Rabim, it's Chayav because it's Karen.
Chayav Chatzin, no?
Yeah. Lema means let's say, let's experiment. Thought hypothesis, Lema, let's say. Rabbi Yochanan, let lay deresh lakish afilu b'shtei parot. Let's say that Rabbi Yochanan let lay, literally ain lo, he doesn't have, of Reish Lakish, even with two cows. In other words, if Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with Reish Lakish in reading our Mishnah, let's say, to be consistent, he probably disagrees with Reish Lakish even with the two cows.
Mm-hmm.
What right. do you mean, disagrees? That perhaps Rabbi Yochanan would say that if a cow that's walking kicked a cow that's lying down, Reish Lakish says, don't have to pay. But perhaps Rabbi Yochanan would say, no, have to pay. It's the same thing, Chatzi Nezek. The Gemara says, la, no. There's not necessarily such consistency. La. Le'olam itle. Le'olam means really. Really itle. Really he has. That's, he has agreement with Reish Lakish concerning the cows. He just disagrees on the application to our Mishnah, which is what Mary Beth was pushing at earlier. In other words, with the cows, I can see that one antagonized the other. But with the eating of the clothing, what antagonization was there? So let's read exactly that. So what you can say is that Rabbi Yochanan agrees with the cows that antagonistic or strange behavior that causes other strange behavior, the second strange behavior that reacts by kicking, is patur. Rabbi Yochanan could agree with that, but now our Mishnah doesn't apply. Because with the eating of the clothing, what antagonist behavior is now says, last three words of the line, ksut avdi inchi demanche galimi v'mitpache. Translation literally, clothing, avdi means does, but it means does in the sense of it's normal to do. Ksut, clothing, it's normal anchi for people, demanche, that they manir, that they leave, Galime umitpach, they leave their cloak and their handkerchief.
Ah, mitpachat.
Aval beima lav orche. But animal, it's not the way. In other words, if someone leaves their cloak and their glima, their cloak and their mitpachat, their handkerchief and their shutar bim, you can't call that antagonizing behavior.
Mm-hmm.
People leave their things there. You can't blame the person who left it there if the animal got upset by seeing a red cloak in the Shutar Avim.
Mm-hmm.
But for animals, it's not orche. And I guess we're going back to the case of the one animal seeing the other animal lying down. That really is not the way. And if one animal is not lying down, you can say the animal is antagonized to kick. But an animal seeing Ksut and Reshutar Avim, that's not... anything that's mishune, that's abnormal.
What's orche?
Orche is its way.
It's way.
Way, the normal way. So anyway, to finish up our class and to finish up the material, mm-hmm. we've now learned a new principle that, according to some, doesn't apply to our Mishnah, but it's good to know. Which patur. In other words, mm-hmm. if abnormal behavior, that is keren, is and caused by other abnormal behavior, it could very well be that this keren is patur.
But that is for everything?
It's a very, very universally worded rule,
mm-hmm.
but if we know the thought process of the Mishnah, mm-hmm. there's always exceptions, yeah. and right. we really so don't you, generalize so generalizations. We have to see how it applies.
Yeah, so it yeah. says you have to you have to examine the causality of the situation.
Cool. Yeah.
So anything mm-hmm. abnormal would be an excuse for criminal behavior?
No. This is not criminal behavior. It's an animal getting antagonized. It's not you.
We're talking
it's not
about
you.
Damages here, yeah. not criminal.
Yeah.